Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Well, welcome to Call from the Foxhole. My name is Jason Searle, and I have the honor and privilege of being chairman of Capon's Men, a men's faith formation group that started out of the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas, grown all throughout the world. We're honored this morning to have Chris Stefanik with us. Chris is a great author, great speaker, internationally renowned speaker, host of Real Life Catholic. If you haven't seen that, you need to check it out. We'll let Chris talk a little bit about some of the work that he's already done and some of the things that he's up to as well right now, some of his new stuff that he's working on. But we're honored to have him. He's going to be a great guest here this morning. And we'll hand it off to Joe to just start here with a quick prayer, and we'll dive right in with a call from the Foxhole with Chris and Joe. Joe and Chris, welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for
good morning,
me,
friends. Absolutely delightful to be on this call with Chris. Let me kick off with a little prayer, and then I know all of us are excited to hear from Chris. So we'll take just a second. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's just be still in the spot that we're in. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you fill this space. You fill our hearts. You open our hearts. You give us a boldness on this call, but also in each moment from here forth. We pray for Chris and pray for his family and pray for his ministry. And we ask all these things for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, I am super excited. I don't think Jason, if he had read the entire resume of Chris Stefanik, we'd be, 15 minutes into this listening to all the great stuff he's done and the places he's been. I am particularly honored because, and I want to start at one of the spots that I think a lot about Chris Stefanik, because I get asked a lot about Father Capon, and I would say 99% of the time, I say, watch this video, it'll give you the whole story. And I went and looked at it even before we got on this call today, and it's like 5 minutes, 1.4 million views. And it was filmed. For those who have never seen it, go to YouTube and watch it. Put in Chris Stefanik, Father Capon, but you'll see the Korean War Memorial, which is probably one of those places in D.C. that my heart, like I almost get choked up thinking about it and just looking in the eyes of those men. So, Chris, can we just start there and just tell a little bit? So you got a lot of guys around the country listening who love Father Capon and who'd probably love to hear maybe some of the backstory to that and how you landed in that. Because that video has gotten a tremendous amount of attention on the internet.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, first let me thank you for that opening prayer and that split second of silence. Because I tell you, man, when you make a split second of silence like that, it's just for a couple seconds. The Lord just rushes in. Can't you just sense that?
Amen.
It's amazing to me. When we need more silence in our lives, and if there's a upside to the coronavirus, it's getting, trying to claim that, and rushing around less. But, yeah, Father Capon. I was introduced to his story through some friends in Wichita, and it really blew me away. For obvious reasons. But let me tell you, man. Back then, before my TV show and a lot of other stuff I'm doing, I was on the road regularly filming, 2 to 4 minute stories. And I decided after hearing his story, man, I got to share this with people and film this. And it was the most miserable experience I ever had filming anything. I was giving a talk in Wichita, drove out to his hometown and tried to film there. We got a couple little things there, but I gave the whole story to the camera there, and something went wrong with the footage. And then I tried to replicate it in various places, probably 5 or 6 times, where I would drive somewhere, find the right setting, talk to camera, and something literally went wrong every time. And after like the 5th or 6th attempt, I prayed, Father Capon, I am never going to talk about you to anybody ever again. And that was probably the most childish prayer I ever prayed. And I'm not even kidding you, man. I was so angry. And I literally prayed that prayer. And then after having given up, I was at the March for Life. And it was an unusually warm March for Life. But they can be brutally cold. Okay. So unusually warm. It was still stinking cold. But I was outside. Yeah, I was outside underdressed because I thought it would be warmer than it was, and so I was still freezing my butt off. But I saw the Karima War Memorial. I thought, you know what? I got a cameraman here. I'm going to try one last time. One last time, Father Capone. And, you know, it would be great and dramatic if it started snowing while I was talking. So there I am. Yeah, there I am. The snow starts coming down on the monument, and I started talking. And a group of teenagers gathered around the other side of the camera, just packed in, and listened to me talk about Father Capone. And when I was done, they erupted in applause, and they said, "We're from Wichita, Kansas. We're from the school that houses all his relics." I just brought the tears in that moment. I mean, the chances of being in Washington, D.C., and having a bunch of kids who are fans of Father Capone gather on the other side of the camera at that second. It happens to be walking by. Snow starts coming down. It was just a great sign in my life that, wow, there is a God, right? Not that I didn't know that. But he really interacts with our daily lives. And sometimes we think things are failures or frustrations, and God's just saying, hey, I'm just telling you to wait. Chill out. I got this. And no, that ended up being going viral. Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that, right? I mean, it's been great for what you're doing ministry-wise, but it's also been huge for the story of Father Capone. And it's funny, Chris Padgett and I were talking about this very thing, about Capone or Capone, because I think Stefanik has a different way he pronounces it. I said, both are correct. I said, so don't worry, Chris. We're good either way.
What a relative this.
Yes, exactly. So here's my thought for you. I want to move, because we don't have a ton of time on these calls from the foxhole, but I know the ministry you're doing, especially you mentioned the silence at the beginning of this call. Like, what are the, everybody seems to be focusing on the downsides of the quarantine, but what are some wins and what are some things we can, as Catholics and as Catholic men, take out of this quarantine and not just look back and go, remember what, when, you know, whatever, and not even really have grown from it?
Yeah, there's an upside to every cross. There's a resurrection to every crucifixion. And I don't want to breeze over the suffering that people are going through because it's really real. I got to interview Pastor Rick Warren a couple weeks ago, and he had a great line. He said, you know, we're all in the same storm, but we are not all in the same boat right now. You know, if you are home with a family in your quarantine with you, if you have some space to walk around and you're not in a city block where you're in packed apartments, you got a lot easier than a lot of other people. If you kept your job, you got it, even if you're furloughed, you got it a lot easier than about 30 million Americans right now. You know, so there's, without diminishing the pain people are going through, no matter what pain it is, even if it's really bad, even if you dealt with sickness, with death, with a parent who's been in the hospital alone, passing, these are hard crosses. And then on the other side, it's just the stress of what the heck's going on. That's a hard cross too. Every single cross, the Lord only lets these things happen with a plan in mind to bring about something greater. It's the only reason he allows pain while not inflicting it, allows it. And that's the crucifixion. I mean, that's the crucifixion and resurrection. Nothing worse has ever happened in all of human history than deicide, the killing of God. And nothing better has ever happened to mankind. And this is how the Father has everything in mind. So yeah, he has ways for us to grow through this. And I think it was Mother Teresa who said, never waste suffering. And never let these things pass you by. Because I'll tell you, man, yeah, you're going to look back. You don't get to redo these times of suffering. It's not the easy times that make you a saint, insert your name here. It wasn't the easy times in Father Capone's life that made him a saint. It was the difficult times in his life. Those are the reasons that we know who he is. And you're in one of those times now. You know, at the end of time, you don't get to go back and redo this. This is the time to lean in and dig deep and try to become the saint you're made to be. Now, you might fail a lot. You will. So have mercy on yourself and just get up, dust yourself off, and press on again, man. That's the battle of life. When you're in the thick of it, yeah, you're going to fall down. You're going to eat some dirt every once in a while.
Yeah, amen to that. I was thinking, as you're talking, this idea of being forged in the fire and some of this, that these times forge, but they also just reveal who we are. And I think a lot of people, you and I both spend a lot of our life traveling, and that sort of stopped. My wife said last week, this is the most I've been home in 5 years. She said, I can't, yeah, like this many weeks in a row. I'm almost scared and uncomfortable. Like, what personally has it revealed for you in ministry and your fatherhood? I know you got a crew of kids. I think you got a kid going to Franciscan this year. So what has it revealed for you personally as well?
Yeah, so the question is, did your wife say that with hey, I'm so grateful to have you home so much, or with, hey, would you please get back on the road? You drive me out of my
yes.
mind.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, just the other night, Natalie told me, he's like, you know, I actually kind of enjoyed my Wednesday nights alone. you know, but you get in a certain flow in your life, a rhythm that's just broken, you know, and that presents all sorts of challenges. But it's been an incredible blessing for me, because I have not been home this much in 10 years. And my life is busier in some ways. I think everybody's at first thought, hey, this is the time to get all my yard work done, or my writing done, or the things I wanted to do but put off. And you find that you maybe are busier than ever. But I'm less frantic than ever, even though I'm busier than ever in a lot of ways, doing a digital ministry. So that frantic part, I don't want to go back to normal, dude. You know, I don't want to go back to the frantic spirit that I think dominated my life and American life in general. I think God does not want us to go back to that. So we got to be specific in our commitments to not go back to that old normal, go to a new normal. And I had one of the best confessions in my life during this coronavirus shutdown, you know, where I was just looking over my life and really reflecting on it. I mean, this is one of the only times in life you're ever going to get to have the train forcibly put off the tracks and relook at life, with the train just sitting there, and ask these questions: what am I doing wrong? How do I want to fix things? Not in a way that's beating yourself up, but in a way that knows you're loved and the Father wants the best for you. And you know, I was able to really confess little things like you know, not going for enough walks with my kids. I mean, these are little things that make a big difference. I mean, during this shutdown, I've been doing things like taking time for the quiet with my children, going on a walk, playing a board game, and this stuff that doesn't take all that much time, but I'm usually too frantic to think about. And it's been really good for my fatherhood.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's kind of that's the banner of Catholic ministry, right? Well, how busy are you? It must mean you're successful. And I feel like you're calling out a lot of us that are in ministry and around it, and calling it our fatherhood. Chris, you are going to speak to the Diocese of Wichita, which I love dearly, Bishop Kimmy, I love dearly, and this Man Fully Alive. And I'd love to just hear, like, we don't want to take next year's talk, but I'd love to hear you, maybe even after this 8 weeks, reflect a little bit on what does it mean to be a man fully alive? You know, taking John 10:10 and the flow. And how does that settle with you day to day, and even maybe further since we've been doing this quarantine?
Yeah, you know, at that conference, I was going to talk about the I Am program content that I just that's exploding right now, man, about not talking to ourselves in a way that rips us down, but replacing negative self-talk with the Word of God. You can't be fully alive if you're ripping yourself to shreds inside. And most of us go through life doing that in ways that we're not even aware of, you know, and living out of lies about our identity, about our manhood, about our lack of manliness, whatever it is, about, you know, defining our worth in relation to money, defining our holiness in relation to our worst sin. And we just have to jump into the head game and win that battle. So we're going to talk about that and talk about how to be a joyful man of God. You know, your family needs you to lead with a spirit of joy. When Nehemiah was talking to the people of God who were about to go rebuild their fallen city, and they had no city walls, which is a disaster in the ancient world. You can be killed by all your neighboring nations when there's no city walls. He told these guys who were facing life and death stuff, not guys who were having good times, but facing life and death. He told them, the joy of the Lord must be your strength. You know, so if we want to be pillars for society, pillars for our family, we have to be joyful men of God. And that doesn't mean putting a fake smile on and everything, but it means something deeper. So that's what I was going to focus on at a conference, just winning the head game, winning the emotional game, and you know, letting the Word of God form our lives, the way we think about ourselves, the way we approach each situation. I can't wait to get back and actually do it.
Yeah. No, I think I will also tell you, Chris, I have had a look at what you're doing with the program, you know, the mind, like speaking into replacing God's, putting the Word of God in, kind of in this talk and the way we speak. And I've been saying to people recently a lot, words matter. Like the words you use matter. I know we tell people they don't, but they really do. And in particular, yeah, the way we speak to ourselves. So I love it. And anyone who's listening to this, I can personally attest to it because I've watched it. It's powerful stuff. It's important stuff. And at this time, in the history of the church, I feel like it's just perfectly placed. Like it's exactly what God needs in this moment. Like, can I ask you to tell us maybe some advice you'd give to the men who've, we go back to stillness and we keep talking about this stillness, but it's just been this thing. Everybody I'm talking to says, man, I feel calmer and quieter than I've been. How do we keep that rhythm up consistently moving forward, Chris? How would you say to some, a man on this call who's about to go back to work next week and, you know, wants to lead with joy and maybe he's going to go on to Real Life Catholic and get the program you're talking about, but how can he put into practice some stillness every day? Well, what are some ideas you've used or had?
Yeah, usually we look at the problem, right? We look at the problem of our life is too frantic, there's too much going on, there's too much noise, and our brains, which are problem-solving machines, get lost in the problem. And the solutions are usually more simple than we think. I love thinking about David and Goliath. That's a big problem, man. You're facing a giant. You're facing an army. Well, the solution was a smooth stone. And it's you can get lost in the problem, in the war, or you can look to the solution. And it's just usually just simpler than we think if we stick to these simple solutions. And the solution, I think, for this is what you did at the beginning of this program. The way I begin the I Am program, my 31-day video challenge program that just helped people rewrite how they talk to themselves. And day one, I say, hey, just shut up. You know, think about the Lord looking at you with great love for just 60 seconds. And it amazed me reading the comments thread how that 60 seconds struck people. 60 seconds felt like forever thinking about God loving them. But people were brought to their knees in prayer and in tears, thinking about the Father looking at them with love for 60 seconds. I mean, this is something we need to make a spiritual practice out of doing, not just hitting our knees and reciting all our prayers, but hitting our knees and being quiet for a minute before we recite our prayers. Even just taking that deep breath before you pray. But I literally challenge everybody, take a minute. Take a minute each day to not talk to God, but think about him talking to you. Think about him loving you. Think about what he looked like on the cross as he looks at you with love. Think about what it would have been like to hold him as a baby in Bethlehem as he looks at you with love from your own arms. Whatever it is, whatever place you need to put yourself, or maybe meeting him on the shore of Galilee, think of him looking at you, because it recenters you. When we look at him, we're reminded of who we are. When we look at him, we can see where we are in life. It reassesses everything. It resituates everything. So just be intentional about a little bit of silence.
No, man, you're speaking my love language now. I'm all about a long walk every day, and even in this, taking some quiet, some peace. And most of that was born out of, I don't know if you're familiar with the pilgrimage across from Wichita to Pilsen that they take in the spirit of Father Capon. It's like 65, I don't know how many miles, it's a lot of miles. We've really spoken in a lot to this idea of accompaniment and pilgrimage and quiet. And, you know, sometimes we feel like we have to be so loud in evangelization. If I could, I'd love to hear anything kind of stirred up in you during this process about evangelization that has changed or maybe has become more full as a result of something. You're operating at such a high level and seeing so many things. Like, would you have some flow or some idea of where we're headed next and how to maybe be more effective as a result of what we've just gone through as a culture?
Yeah. Yeah, for my personal life, and I think this applies to to what I'm doing in evangelization, but would apply to people in their business lives too, especially if you're running your own business. A forced pause on life forces you to relook at everything you're doing, because we generally start these machines, and then the machines start running, and then instead of those machines serving us and what we want to do, we end up serving the machine. You know what I mean? Like, if you start 15 widgets in your ministry, well, who says they all have to keep going until you're dead? You know, hit pause, and you're free to change things and pivot and get more effective. I think this is forcing a greater effectiveness in digital ministry. There's no question about that. Not only for big national ministries like mine, right, but for local digital ministries. I personally don't want to tune in to a national mass when I'm stuck at home in quarantine. I want to tune into my local parish. And I know that some parishes have said, you know, there's other people doing this better. You know, no. I want to see my pastor on a stinky iPhone. That's what I want to see. That's my pastor. Yeah. That's my parish. That's the pew I sit in. You know, and we don't have to reach people. We don't have to always be in our car going to places. Now, face-to-face, there's no repeating that, obviously, especially with liturgy. You know, but we can do a whole lot more without having to be away from home as much as we have been. So I think it's time to actually start using technology correctly, and let's stick to it, man. When this thing's over, let's stick to it, you know? My sister's in pharmaceutical sales. She's working from home now, just as effectively. You know, why be away from home for 70 hours a week when you could Skype somebody and be done with the job in half the time because you're spending less time sitting in traffic? So I really hope that we notice the ways this has made our lives better, and even though it's difficult, and stick to those things.
Now, that is wise words. Chris, how can the guys around the country that are on this call and have tuned into the podcast, how can they track you down and see what you're doing, maybe online and maybe other than the IAM, what other things you have out there for them?
Yeah. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, and we'll send you a free ebook of my book, I Am. It's 33 meditations about what God says about who you are. That's not the same as the video program, but it really helps a lot to just form the habit of speaking truth to yourself. Text RLC to the number 44144. RLC to 44144. If you want to dig into the full video challenge, that's on reallifecatholic.com on the coaching tab. And it's changing lives. 31 days with me, and I'll tell you what, man, you won't be the same. You won't be the same. You got to share this with your kids, too, people on the fence. And if you sign up for the newsletter, too, we'll just keep you abreast of all the great things going on, from the TV show to the interviews we're doing to just so much to help feed your faith. And above that, too, just so much that's so real-life relevant, so to speak, that you won't be afraid to share it with your friends and family who are on the fence, because you know it'll make their lives better. And when you have something like that in hand, it makes it a lot easier to share Catholicism.
Amen. Well, there you go, guys. This is Chris Stefanik. I appreciate him coming on. I appreciate him spending time with us, and know we're praying for him. And Jason, I'm going to hand it back over to you, bud.
Chris, thanks for joining us. Joe, really appreciate you facilitating that. And great stuff here. A couple of closing thoughts here. Chris talked about filming the YouTube video of Father Cape and at the Korean War Memorial out in D.C. And Chris was going to join us at our Man Fully Alive conference next March of 2021. He was scheduled to be here, as you heard him talk. He's going to come, and he's going to visit with us and keynote that. You heard a little bit about what he's going to talk about. It's going to be at Cape and Mount Carmel High School in March of 2021, where all of Father Capon's relics are, a lot of them anyway. And we'll just be thrilled to have Chris join us and speak into that. You heard where you can see some of the work that Chris is up to, and we really like for you to support his work. We've been following him for a long time, and he's a great witness, a great evangelizer. I think as we really try and land the conversation here, what jumped out at me was it's not the easy times that make us a saint. And and really dovetailing into that, let's not waste that time. As St. Mother Teresa said, don't waste our suffering. And I think Joe brought us back on and helped out on Chris's thought there about, you know, what's this time reveal about us? And maybe those are good questions to pray about as you reflect and listen to what Chris had to say today. And as you pray into that and listen, what's in your heart, what's the Lord saying to you? And let's not waste this quiet time. Let's embrace that quiet time. And Joe talked a little bit about the pilgrimage spirit, and we've done a lot of work on that. You can find that work on www.form.com under Capon's Men, and our newest series, the pilgrimage series by Capon's Men, for both men and women. So men, as you're listening to this call, show it to your wives, and we really unpack what a pilgrim's disposition is and how to embrace that quiet and how to slow down. And I think Chris's reflections about walking today were great as well. Walking with your family and some of these habits that this time has allowed us to develop, let's embrace that, as Chris challenged us to do. So thanks again, Chris. Thanks again, Joe. Great stuff to really absorb and to leave us with this week. We're very thankful. And as Father Capon told his men each morning and each night, he had to pray three Hail Marys, and that's how we've closed these calls. So if we can take just a minute of silence to quiet ourselves for a moment and know that we're in the presence of the Lord, we'll offer any intentions that you have in your heart in silence here. For a moment, and know that the perfect intercessor, Mary, will take them to the foot of the Lord, and that our prayers will be answered. So quiet ourselves for just 1 second here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Servant of God, Father Emil Capon, pray for us. Thanks again for joining us. Have a blessed week.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.